You are now listening to the Geek Bro Network. Check out geekbro.net. That's how geeking is done.
Hi, this is Pedro, the big old fucking nerd.
Hello there, this is Kenny. I am the under to your score.
Hey, this is Q, your one-stop shop for all things Harry Potter, and you are now listening to The Talking Geek. Recording.
Oh my lordy, lordy, lord.
Oh my.
It has been a while since we've recorded.
Yes.
I'm glad to be back. And I'm glad for our listeners. Thank you again for tuning in to your part talk, part sass, all things geek podcast. And we're going to be doing a lot of changes up in the upcoming year, and we want to hear from you. So before you get into this episode, those of you who have been listening, thank you for listening. By the time you're hearing this episode, Thanksgiving has just passed, but we are thankful for you. And we want to find out what you like and what you don't like, like what you want to hear more of, and what you don't want to hear any more of. And we know you like us trolling, so... tell us which are your favorite episodes. What other segments you'd like?
So tell us you want more good stuff and less like you know shit like Friends and just like other trash
or Avatar, you know.
Or Doctor
Who, less Avatar,
like, whatever. Any of those things. So you can do that by either commenting on some of our social media, or you can email us at thetalkinggeek@gmail.com so that we can start working on those changes for you coming 2019. Now that that's out of the way, all right, what's everybody been up to?
Oh, my God. It's been, I mean, for the last couple months, I have mostly just been playing games. It's sort of been my main escape. It's kind of the thing that lets me not think and just try to turn off after a long day. Jeez, what haven't I been playing? I've been playing Octopath Traveler, which is kind of an old school RPG they put on the Switch. Really, really gorgeous. It almost looks like it's like... oh God! What do you call like a shadow box? Is that what it's called when you have like multiple layers and stuff? So imagine like a like sprites on a shadow box, but every so often like the backgrounds look real. So it's like if you're going through the snow, it actually looks like snow.
Oh sweet!
But yeah, it's this really interesting visual design, very old school kind of RPG, which I am occasionally in the mood for, where I just kind of want to just grind and have like a story of no consequence. So
got it.
I've been doing that. I've been playing Spider-Man. With the PS4 Spider-Man is very fucking good.
I know.
If you've played Arkham Asylum, it's basically... Oh, excuse me. Wow.
Arkham Asylum?
It is. Yeah, Arkham City.
Yeah.
It's Arkham City. Not Arkham Knight, which... Oh, I tried to go back into Arkham Knight again and...
Didn't work?
You know, the problem with Arkham... Before I get back into the positive of Spider-Man, which Spider-Man fixes, which... manages to avoid the problems that Arkham Knight has. Arkham Knight City is huge just for the sake of being huge and forcing you to use the Batmobile.
Right.
Which I, in theory, have no problem with, right? Except that the city is not well designed for the Batmobile. The Batmobile controls like fucking trash.
Yep.
And so many of the Joker, of the Riddler trophies involve
driving
a car that you can barely fucking control.
Yeah. Yeah. I failed. I couldn't remember how many times I failed.
Yeah.
Just any of those Riddler ones that have to involve driving.
Yeah. If they were less involving the driving, if the driving were instanced instead of like, you know, oh, I could summon in the world and drive around. It's like, for what reason? Because the thing that's fucking cool about all the Arkham games is traversing the city as fucking Batman, not jumping in the fucking car.
Right.
So that's really disappointing. I would like to be able to beat that one of these days because... I mean, I'm invested in the other two, and I've liked those Arkham games, and the combat's still fun, and it's still fun to fucking fly around
with
Batman.
It's awesome to fight. The combat is amazing, but I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. But Spider-Man is swinging from place to place.
It's swinging from place to place. It's a really... It's a big fucking version of Manhattan, but it's not so big that, like, you would, in theory, need a car like you do in Arkham, in Arkham Knight. And the combat is structured very similarly to... Arkham Asylum and all of the Arkham series, where you have different types of enemies that come in. You have to use different strategies to be able to fight them. They throw a bunch of different ones at you at the same time, and it's all about kind of managing big groups of people. But what's so amazing about it is, while you get the feeling that Bruce is like a fucking tank, because he is.
Right.
He's just a big old slab of meat punching people in the face.
Right.
Peter, like, flies around like he's in the middle of parkouring all the time.
Yeah, super agile.
And it's animated gorgeously. So when he's literally slipping between people's legs and jumping up and kicking him in the face, like, it looks like it's a lot of fucking
fun. I want that
fun.
Game so bad.
Yeah. I definitely recommend. They are...
Did you borrow this game?
I borrowed this game. If I would just wait until the whatever game of the year version comes out, because there's four fairly large pieces of DLC that are coming out.
Okay.
So just wait until that drops and then pick that up so you get all of it.
All of it at once.
It also has it has Miles in it.
Miles Morales.
The version of MJ is very interesting. It's been
Did
interesting.
They go with Homecoming version of MJ?
So, no. What it is that they've been, like, over the years slowly kind of pushing away from MJ being, like, the model. You remember when she first started, she was, this big, vivacious model, super fucking hot.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that's great and everything, but completely fucking does not vibe with anything that works with fucking Peter.
Right.
And this one, they're playing them both, like, college age, and she's actually the reporter for the Daily Bugle.
Okay.
Okay.
Interesting. And
very Lois Lane.
It's actually a little more Lois Laney, and it's interesting. They really nail the one thing that they had to nail, and they nailed really well, is the writing and the guy who performs as Peter, because he's very likable. The writing is the kind of cheesy bullshit that you would expect a
Spider-Man
to say.
Yeah.
But also, like you genuinely feel for Peter, and they really get those sort of in between moments when he's. Because they're broken up at the beginning of the game, and he's like trying to hopefully like get back with her. So like they kind of play up that tension of it. And it feels like the best Spider-Man movie that was never made.
Got it, and makes me want it more.
Yeah.
So that's what you've been up to, Kenny. What you've been up to?
Honestly, I've been really happy about what's going to be coming up. I've become a junkie now with board games to the point I've gotten a lot of. Kickstarters that are coming.
You might have made a mistake or two.
Yeah, I might have made a mistake. I'm trying to say really low so Tiff doesn't hear me. that I have bought quite a few that are going to be coming in, but really it's games that, for instance, Binding of Isaacs. I know I've talked about it on Crit or Die, but Binding of Isaacs is coming very soon. I can't wait to try those out.
That's going to be a lot of fun. I kind of hope Binding of Isaac is kind of like Munchkin, because Binding of Isaac is kind of like... It's sort of this weird, like, procedurally generated, like, Legend of Zelda kind of game, and I feel that, like, that would transfer well with Munchkin, like, kicking open a door and being like, I fight a shit monster.
No, that's exactly what it is. That's exactly how it is. It's a mixture between Munchkin and a deck-building game, pretty
cool.
much.
Okay.
And the other one that I'm waiting for is Trogdor.
Trogdor.
That's going to be really good. Honestly, I've been looking at a lot, like, Kickstarter has done a lot for me in terms of gaming. I used to just stick with the games that you would see in stores, and it wasn't until I actually picked up Kickstarter. The last Kickstarter game I got was Doomsday Bots, which I'm waiting for to come in, which is also another cool. It's a draft building game where you build a robot and then try to kill other people to take stuff. Yeah, so it's gonna be really cool. Really, that's what my main focus. Other than that, I've been building shit.
Got that side hustle going.
I got that side hustle going, building shit.
You're like a reverse Donkey Kong. Instead of fucking destroying buildings, you build them.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I have a Donkey Kong outfit, and now I have a Bowser outfit.
So, yes.
I just imagine you getting like super wasted one day and just ending up on the roof as Donkey Kong, just holding a fucking bucket over your head. Like, Kenny, please get down.
Or dress up as Bowser and walk around people's houses with mushrooms.
Fire. Just start taking like a fucking hairspray.
Oh my god. What about you, Q?
Reading. Lots of reading. More reading. I did start up on the new serial season. I did start that up, but I'm now two episodes behind because one of my favorite authors came out with another book, and so I needed to swallow that one whole, and that one was like 19 hours.
So, I mean, you've basically switched over to audiobooks instead of podcasts this year,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So what are some of the ones that you like have really recommended this past, like?
When it comes to audiobooks, here's the thing. Everything boils down to narration.
Right,
like, it's always a narrator. And so there's a bunch of books on my list that I have opted to not do audiobook because the minute I heard the narration, I was like, I'm not going to be able to do this.
Yeah.
The problem with me recommending any at this point is that I'm so swallowing authors in holes. Mm-hmm. So what's happened is I'll read one book from that author and I'm like, oh, I really enjoyed this. Let me read everything that is on Audible.
Yeah.
Because that happened to me with Leanne Moriarty. I saw Big Little Lies. I was like, let me read Big Little Lies. I have now swallowed like 7 or 8 of her books.
Right.
That's the book I just finished now, which is the one that she came out with this year, which is called 9 Strangers. Then I read this book called And Then She Was Gone from Lisa Jewell. And then I went on a Lisa Jewell hole. So I'm just like, Nene, what I am about to get into, because my book club is going to start it, is The Haunting of Hill House by Shirley Jackson. So we're going to be doing that. And then I promised one of my students that I'm going to do the audiobook of Stephen King's The Mist, because she's going to be reading it as well. I'm going to do
it. Ready for the grimness.
Yeah. Yeah, it's only 2 hours.
No, it's a grim.
No,
I know. And that's totally fine. I'm cool with that. When I finished one of my books, I was like, I'm not going to get a book right away. I'm going to go check out my podcasts and see what I listen to.
What have you been listening to?
Then I just went to Serial. I went immediately to Serial.
What's funny is that, like, I think I've talked about before how I've tried to get into Stephen King so many times,
yes,
and I've never
God
been able
it,
to.
Bro.
I've tried, dude. I've tried.
Hold on. I've never read a Stephen King book.
Okay.
Ever.
I don't feel so bad.
No, I just can't do it.
But you guys need to, though.
Okay, but here's the thing. My girlfriend is a huge Stephen King fan. Like,
yeah.
She's read all of his books. She's read all of them multiple times.
Oh, sweet.
It is her favorite novel.
I could talk to her about Dark Tower series for sure.
Dark Tower is the one thing she hasn't read of his.
Jesus Christ.
That's on her. No, it's on the things to get to. But
yeah,
like,
yeah,
remember, these books are also like fucking gargantuan.
Yeah, they're huge.
So she was listening to The Stand in audio, and I found I actually was getting into the story more listening to it instead of reading it. And I don't know what it is. And the narrator was okay. Like, he wasn't like really out of this world, but it worked for the story that it was telling. And I kind of wonder if I'm going to go through the rest of, like, give his other books a shot in audio.
I think that audio lends itself, like, now what I've done with like audiobooks is books that are classics that as a literary fan, I haven't read.
Oh, yeah.
I feel I can swallow now in audiobooks. Like, so shit like The Odyssey and The Iliad and things of that nature, I feel like if I'm listening to it, it's almost like watching a documentary.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Much easier than trying to read it and understand it and comprehend it in that fashion.
Do you feel that... So, I mean, the book field can be, like, really fucking... Like, anything can be really fucking pretentious. Do you feel that there is a fundamental difference in absorbing literature through audio versus actually reading it?
I have this conversation all the time because my lovely wife will sometimes say, when I say, oh, I just finished reading a book, she'll be like, you mean you just finished listening to it? And I'm like, right?
Right.
I don't think, I think there are certain books I refuse to listen to on audiobooks,
mm-hmm,
because I want to read them, because I want to absorb it that way. I think there is a fundamental difference in what stories you're willing to hold on to longer if you're listening to it than if you're reading it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I feel like you, to sit down, here's the difference for me. If you sit down, you have to find time in your busy schedule to pick up a physical book and read it.
Yeah.
You have to find the time. And then what ends up happening is if that book doesn't get you in the first 2 or 3 chapters, you're going to cut it. Because you don't have time to waste on a book you don't like.
Right.
So your ability to comprehend and stick to a full arc of a story starts to change. When you're doing an audiobook where you're stuck in traffic for an hour, you're now going to be – you could listen to 10 chapters because you're stuck there. Might as well listen to something.
Yeah.
You're more willing – I guarantee you there's probably – at least I have like in my library of audiobooks, I think it's like 35 books – and I promise you that 15 of them I would have never read. I would have never finished reading. In the first 5 or 6 chapters, it had not gotten me, but it's because I used my 1 credit on Audible. I like the narration, and it's enough of a summary that I enjoy.
Yeah.
That I am so happy I stuck with, because it was an 80-chapter book, and it needed to get to chapter 25 to be what I needed
to be. To get what you needed.
But I would have never done that had been sat down. I need more instant gratifications, which is why I love authors like Chuck Palahniuk. I won't do a Chuck Palahniuk book on audio.
I really Chuck Palahniuk and like Haruki Murakami is another one. Both have like very like interesting – maybe tick might not be the right way to do it, but I think you know what I'm talking
about.
Yeah, like,
they're
very, very different things in different novels that are repeated that are just like his thing where you're like, oh, he's doing that to kind of like get into that character, oh, like yeah. into the mind of that character.
So yeah, and then aside from books, because I'm always doing books, and we'll be doing a book episode soon, so I'll hold my gold for that. I have become slightly addicted, like I do sometimes with hobbies, with D&D.
Ooh.
So while Kenny has been falling down Kickstarter holes for games, I have gone down a D&D Kickstarter hole, wanting to start building miniatures, looking nice. At figurines, looking at different campaigns that are going on. So that has been like my new, like having played now Brunches and Dragons for as long as we've been playing, and getting to this type of a level of character and story with that really triggered it. And then playing the other game, which, by the way, if you're listening to this podcast, check out Criticalism, which is another D&D actual play podcast that Kenny and I are in yes. with Kenny's girlfriend.
Yeah.
A friend of ours, Michelle Panda, which you've heard of plenty of times on this podcast.
You've heard us curse him.
And a different DM, Josh, who you've also heard of, and he's been on this podcast.
Yeah.
You
also probably heard him. The man is very loud.
Oh, yes, yes, for sure. So I've gotten really into D&D stuff, like just reading about it, reading forums and blog posts of how to play certain characters, how things interact well with one another. And so I've gone down that hole, luckily not spending any money yet. But if you look at my current, yes, if you look at my current Amazon Christmas list, it is like D&D.
Pretty much just go to a hobby shop and get her the stuff to create the actual ship, and she will just make a ship.
Oh, I will make you the best ship in the world. Oh, my God. I'm so into miniatures right now.
We can make Sailor Jerry's ship.
Oh, my God. Please make Sailor Gerald.
Oh, my God.
Juggler Gerald.
Juggler Gerald.
But, yeah, so.
He's a juggalo. Oh, my God.
He's a juggalo. Oh,
so, yeah, I've just been in a D&D hole, and if not reading books. For Serial, just for those of you who are listening, Serial has changed. Not their format, but their I don't even know how to explain it. Like, every season has been different. After Adnan Syed did that season took off, the one with Bo Bergdahl was a different way of doing journalism, because it really wasn't just her. She was also using, like, an interview that somebody else had already done. This one is different again. She's in the courthouse of a town in Detroit. I think it's Detroit. So she's just following different people that she's meeting in the justice system and through their court cases and things like that. But it has a beautiful insight on how the court system works. Like, she'll talk to prosecutors. Why do they settle? Why do they do this? How do they put their charges and things like that?
Interesting. So it's learning about how
woven in through real stories that are happening right as she's recording. And like the fucked up shit that was happening, how many corrupt police officers and things that were happening in that particular city. Yeah. So it was very interesting. I swallowed the first 6 episodes one day at work, like I would have 6 hours of a book. I just was like, okay, I'm just gonna listen to this all day. Then I went back to a book, but I did that until
did,
I had
yeah.
I had until I had no more episodes of Serial, and I was like, time for a book. However, what I have done and what we're going to talk about today is I've watched almost everything on,
on
Netflix.
You've been fucking watching it up.
I have, and I'm trying to make sure that I am in line so that I have nothing to watch come December 5th when Marvelous Mrs. Maisel comes out season 2.
Oh, my God. Oh, perfect.
Yes. So that comes out December 5th. On Amazon Prime, and I'm super excited because it should be a full drop. I don't know how they're doing it this time. I can't remember.
We've been getting into doing that week by week, and I am not, want it.
Hulu does that, and I deal with it.
Took forever to get fucking Castle Rock.
Yeah, Hulu does, that's because Hulu does that. Yeah. And I can't do that. So, I've watched everything. I've watched things that we can't talk about right now, but like The Haunting of Hill House, which we will do an episode on that soon.
Maniac
as well. I finally saw, quick geek update on the shit that's on Netflix. Daredevil season 3 is fucking amazing. I think that it did everything it needed to do to make us like Mac Murdock again, past the first 2 episodes, because we still had to get bullshit Daredevil so that we can get born again Daredevil.
Well, but remember, it's Matt Murdock. He has to be whiny. It is literally,
I know,
he is literally a whiny Catholic boy.
I know.
Literally what he does.
I know, but this one was good, and Wilson Fisk is such a good villain.
Oh yeah,
such a good villain that this season did really well. We know that Netflix has canceled Luke Cage and of course Iron Fist because they should have done that after season 1. Though there's rumors saying that it's because they're going to go for the
Disney's platform. No, I think.
Oh, no. Oh, no,
no, hired.
No, Heroes for Hire.
Heroes for Hire.
No. If they're going to do that, it'll be on Disney's platform.
No, they are. But that's what the rumor is, that these all got canceled from Netflix so that when Disney opens up their Disney Plus, because that's unique, they are going to get.
Name is.
It's so right, whack. Disney. Super whack. So that when they go over there, they'll do Heroes for Hire.
There's nothing wrong with Heroes for Hire.
No. What I'm kind of curious about, and this is one of those things, because we're obviously, and very few of us are privy to the actual contract that Disney and Marvel did with Netflix. If they cancel those shows, can they, on their own platform, have a Luke Cage, can have an Iron Fist? Or, so if they cancel those shows for Netflix, do they just call the show Heroes for Hire, and you got those two palling around?
They can. That they can do, but they can't come out with a show called Luke Cage. That, I believe, is Netflix's ownership.
That's probably why they're going to have to do Heroes for
Hire. So I wonder for Jessica Jones, when Jessica Jones is done, because they already have her third season in the can, do they just call it Alias Investigations?
They could.
Do they just call it Alias?
But here's the thing. Daredevil pitched their season 4 to Netflix. That's what's up in the air right now. They pitched it to Netflix to see if Netflix will hold on to Daredevil. And we still know that we're getting another season of Punisher. So there's still things up in the air.
I think Punisher is in pre-production right now.
Yeah. This guy, the actor.
Is he a pre-production? Barenthal?
Shane was teasing about it.
You can't save him, Rick!
Yeah. Oh. Oh.
Yeah. You can't save him!
There's so many things to talk about. Hold on. Kenny.
Oh, I don't want to talk about it. I know what you're going to say.
Could it be like a bridge too far?
No.
No, there was a bridge involved.
There was a bridge involved.
I know what happened.
Okay, so those of you who have been listening to our podcast for a long time, Kenny and I used to love talking about The Walking Dead afterwards.
Well, I was snoring.
You were snoring, and that's fine, but we loved it. We loved it. I loved the show.
Uh-huh. And then one day we just stopped talking about it.
Yeah, we did. It was like if
I
it would never.
I wonder why.
And then it's funny because it wasn't like something that we told each other we're just not going to do it anymore. We just stopped doing it.
Yeah, we just stopped doing it. And then we started watching the new season because we knew it was Rick's last season. And I was like, okay, I fucking love Rick Grimes. I don't care.
Let's see him die, because that's pretty much what we thought.
Right. So I'm watching this. Off the bat, I already don't like what they're doing with the season. I was like, this is crap. This is absolute crap. There are certain things I like that they did with certain characters, but not as a whole. I was bored out of my mind. I was like over it. But okay. So we kept forgetting to watch it.
Spoilers.
We kept forgetting to watch the show. I then spoiled Rick's exit for myself, right? I spoiled it for myself because I saw an article online that said Andrew Lincoln to be in a AMC movie about The Walking Dead. And I said, hold the fuck.
Isn't it a trilogy?
It's a trilogy.
Okay, hold on. That came later, because when I first read the article, it was just one movie, right?
Yeah.
Whatever. I read the full article, tells me exactly what happens at the end, and I was like, oh, man, this is bullshit.
Do you know how hard I laughed when I read that? I was like, oh,
now,
that was a marvelous just, oh.
So we watch that episode, finally, and it is bullshit for a good majority of it, right? So Rick, spoiler alert. In the episode before his final episode, quote unquote, he had just fallen off a fucking horse and gotten speared through the fucking.
Impaled on the side.
Yeah, impaled in the side.
Like near his
rebar.
Yeah.
So in this X episode, you're watching his entire struggle to make it back to his people. Slowly on a horse and being literally leading a horde of fucking zombies and walkers. So
I wish I could have been in that horse's head like, motherfucker, I want to run. This is scary shit.
So all of that is fine. Here's my problem. Okay, so the show sucked. It sucks, right? Season sucks. The whole thing sucks. But they did a really good job. Even I, knowing how it ended in the part where that Rick is about to die, he's leading the horde to the bridge so that he can explode the bridge so that they go fall into the water and they never make it to his people, and he's literally going to sacrifice himself so that he can do this, and he thinks that he's alone when this is happening, and then everybody comes in and is watching Rick about to sacrifice themselves. You see Daryl, you see Maggie and Michonne, and they're all trying to make it to him. There's no way they're going to make it to him. That whole like lead up to that like moment, that 5-minute scene was really good. I had watery eyes and I knew what was happening.
Yeah.
So it was filmed and it was respectful to Rick Grimes as a character. If you're going to go so far off the edge with the comic book and get rid of him, so soon and after having gotten rid of Carl, because that was another, okay, what are you doing here? It was so good, right? So then I see Vanessa and I see Tiff and I see their eyes. I'm like, oh, that was a good, oh, that makes me happy, like, that they respected him, because, of course, well, sure enough, he has to shoot the dynamite and he's too close to it. It explodes. Fucking zombies fly everywhere. Rick is gone and everybody's crying and Daryl just walks off. And even Daryl's reaction is like, that was his bro. So he just like, that was all great.
Bro tears. Yeah, I know.
And then I hear them say, oh, that was good. I actually like that. That's how it ended. And I was like, man. Oh, man.
That's not how it ended.
Calm down.
No.
We still got 5 minutes.
Ten.
Those 10 minutes?
No, there was a break. There was a commercial break, and then they brought it back.
Yeah.
So it's like we knew the show wasn't over yet.
Yeah. Only for fucking True to find the zombies.
Leader of the heapsters.
The leader of the heapsters to find the zombies going through the water and look amongst them to find, oh, who? Rick Grimes,
somehow,
of course.
Rick hadn't been bitten or anything.
No, he survived. The blast, he survived.
Yeah,
the
plot armor. It's very strong.
Oh, he's a very strong guy. very, very strong. And then to just then be taken away in a helicopter away from his people. Now, his people think he's dead, which is a really fucked up thing to do. And then we saw the preview for the next episode, and I'm not even going to watch it, because all of a sudden we watch the preview, and the preview is like an 8-year-old girl, and she's in the forest, right? And she's got like cowboy boots and all that other shit, and you hear something that she says, and she goes and she picks up the cowboy hat and she puts it on, and they're like, oh, what's your name? And she was like, my name's Judith. So they have just jumped 6 years
six,
after
7
Rick,
years.
Because they have to. There's nothing they could do after that.
Yeah, don't
no, it's
kill
a soft
Rick
reboot.
Grimes.
It's a reboot.
Yeah.
It's
a reboot. That's what they had to do. They literally had to do
it. It's a soft reboot, because they decided. The reason why is because now you all the characters that you cared about, because even still, because you got Daryl that's left, right?
Yeah.
You got Carol, and then
Daryl, Carol.
And Michonne.
And then Michonne, which even at that point, Michonne just became a mom at one point, and just like, I stopped caring as much.
Yeah.
And yeah, so they're like, okay, now we're going to have to introduce you to people that we want you to care about. And one of them is Judith, which apparently, you know, is like Hit Girl from Kick-Ass, where she can just shoot with a six shooter.
Jesus Christ.
from fucking 40, 50 yards away. Pop, 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 pop. Hey, guys, come with me. And they're like, oh, who are you?
Well, if there was anybody. Look,
her dad is Rick Grimes.
I was about to say, like. No, her dad isn't Rick Grimes.
Wait, no, her dad
right.
isn't Rick Grimes.
You're right.
No, her dad
it's
is
fucking more terrifying. It's fucking
it's
shit.
Punisher. Yeah.
It's Punisher.
Oh, my God.
It's Punisher.
However, that scene was epic because they bring back Shane for Rick Grimes. Yeah.
They brought
thing.
Back Herschel.
Oh, yeah. They
that,
brought back.
That made
oh,
me
that's
feel.
Sad.
That made me feel
I knew
sad.
that was going to make you feel
that
sad.
That made me feel sad because he's sitting there because it's sad not only because of that, because the actor passed away
shortly
after he shot that. So it even made even more. It's like, dude, this guy's fucking back now.
Now, what I will say is, so when they brought Shane back, it's like he's having like as he's passing out every so often on the horse, he's having these dreams, right? And he goes back to the prison. Like, it's pretty dope what they do. I enjoy.
Did the governor show up?
No.
No.
But.
No.
Which is fine. Which is fine, because it's people who was close to. You know,
right.
Like Herschel comes up, Shane comes in. And Shane is such a dick in that whole interaction with the two of them. He literally is like, oh, like the minute he starts saying, he goes, you know that kid's not fucking yours. You know that kid's fucking mine. Like, and he's just like a dick about it. Like a complete dick. And he's like, man, you're an asshole. And he's like, yeah. Yeah. What I am mad is they didn't bring Glenn back. And I thought that was a miss on them.
You know why they were? Well, because we wouldn't be able to recognize them.
I mean, no, that's fine. We're not going to put fucking ripped up Glenn.
No, because they didn't give us missing like Herschel.
I know, but you didn't give us Glenn.
Think,
I don't think Glenn. Honestly, if they would, they may have tried to do that, but
I think it's a miss.
Not even do Lori?
No.
No, people forgot about Lori seasons ago.
I don't even care so much about Lori, because we got her really early and she died pretty fast. But Glenn being the one who saved him and was the one that like kept trying to make sure that he was always saving people.
Kept them on the straight and narrow.
Right, on the straight and narrow. I would have thought that that Glenn would have been another person he would have seen. I expected Herschel, because Herschel was always really big on creating a new world and farming and doing the whole nine. And I expected Shane. I would have liked to have seen Glenn. I was the only one that was like, "Ah, you missed the mark."
Did they bring
Yeah,
Abraham?
I was about to say, or Dolphin Smoot.
No, but
no,
he wasn't. For me, it's about relationships, and I think that
right.
Rick had a relationship
stronger
with
relationship
Glenn.
With those people.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, definitely, yeah, definitely. Out of all those people, Glenn would have been the one.
Glenn would have been the other one. But other than that, fuck that show.
I already have a feeling that they're going to tie in again. The fucking Fear the Walking Dead?
No, that they had said that from
no.
the beginning.
No, because Morgan's already over there with them, right?
They're supposed to merge them.
And
they're
now they're
going to
be
them.
Bringing them because, remember, you got six, 7 years past now. Well, that's more than enough time for people to come from one from the West Coast to the East Coast.
I also love the idea where they're like, well, we're just going to completely change the story now. This other show, not doing so well, so let's just bring them over and just cancel the...
That's the thing is that when they already killed Carl... Right, they've already deviated quite a bit. Now, what I'm hope the only saving grace that I think that they have is Negan now being a reformed or quote unquote reformed Negan, trying to see how he interacts with the group now because he's still alive. They're gonna need him. Like he now needs to be alive throughout this thing.
Yeah.
Right. So I want to see what if we do continue to watch it, they need to strongly work with him, Jeffrey Dean Morgan. He is the one now that needs to be the vehicle of the show because if not, this show is going to just...
Daryl's the one that everybody fucking loves.
Daryl loves him, Daryl's the one that everybody loves, but Daryl has always been... He's never been the one to accelerate the story. He's always been the one...
He's
to
the
be
cool
the
guy you like,
yeah.
But yeah, he doesn't...
He's a utility of the group. He's not the one that's actually the vehicle.
Well, they talk. But I'm not watching that show anymore.
Well, speaking of actors and people dying, unfortunately, while we were not recording, Burl Stan Lee finally died.
Yep,
unfortunately passed away. Yep,
had a fucking amazing life. You know, just like in his 95 years old.
I believe he was 95. Yeah,
I was listening, and apparently, like. He created all of those Marvel characters like in a 10-year span.
Right.
And think about 10 years of work, how much that influenced pop culture for the past 50, 60, and beyond.
Because
that's not going to fucking go away.
Right. Oh, fucking Bill Maher. Did you see what
Bill Maher's been a fucking piece of shit for a long time.
But he was in a Marvel movie, you piece of shit.
Yeah, because he just wants the fucking money.
Oh, did you see... What the company answered back, the people in charge of Stanley, they wrote a letter back to him.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, yeah. It was very classy and right on point and was able to use like three of Stanley's quotes right back at him.
And never mind the fact that like, so I know people will probably look at people look at a lot of comic book stuff and they don't really take it seriously. But if you look at like, the level of like social commentary that Marvel Comics were and sliding in morals for like kids and the fact that like I mean Stan Lee created like T'Challa, like one of the most powerful black symbols in comics. He had an allegory with X-Men, allegory for racism, for
yes,
everything. And so I mean, yeah. Like this he was able to say so much within his own comics and I feel positively affect people. So, yeah, he had not just for creating these characters, but for being a creator who had something to say for the better.
Well, and he has his thumbprint in the world, like you said, because like so
huge.
Many messages of like
yep.
have transcended past comic books, just anything, like the way he created Spider-Man, like why he wanted a young person, villains that you can understand, and like just a way of creating people and that just mirrored
real
society
life, yeah.
And real life just in comics. And I think I think people are, that yeah. guy was an
like
idiot.
making fucking Peter this kid who was like, I can't make rent, fuck.
Yeah.
No, it's not even that. Like even getting a character who has to deal with his inner demons, the whole difference between trying to hold back the monster with Hulk.
Yeah.
The fact that Bruce Banner is really just a metaphor for how your emotions are, how your real
or
person
PTSD.
Or PTSD, how you feel when you
funny thing,
experience.
A lot of people don't know, he was a soldier.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, he might have had something to say about that kind
yeah.
of shit.
So, rest in peace to him. He
yeah,
lived an amazing life. Towards the end, I know he had a lot of issues with family and
fucking
what was being
daughter,
taken
bro,
care
of.
Yeah.
Piece of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is really sad, but
But thank you for everything, man. Yes. If there's anybody that I want to go back and just get a chance to thank, like, he would be him.
I wish I would have had an opportunity to meet him at a con. Never did.
I had a couple opportunities, but the lines were always so ridiculous that I just was like, yeah, I can't, I'm not going to do this.
Is totally, of course. So now what we wanted to originally talk about, we got into a few tangents, but fuck it. So we have all finally completed a similar series because I'm usually the one that has finished all of them and I'm waiting for everybody else to catch up. So Sabrina the Teenage Witch. On
the
Netflix.
The chilling adventures of Sabrina. An important distinction here.
You are correct,
sir. The chilling adventures of Sabrina. That's how it's written.
Yes, you are correct. And
because one of those has Melissa Joan Hart. Well, the other one has Satan.
Well, I mean, there's a fucking pentagon in the logo. A pentagram, sorry. Pentagon. It should be a pentagon.
It's a pentagram in a pentagon.
She goes to a school with fucking Baphomet in the front. Oh, I love it.
With children surrounding him, like, oh.
And the fact that, like, praise, like, all of the.
Pray
okay,
Satan.
We'll get into some of that a little bit, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is pretty much the show that you. Well, this is the character you sort of remember with a lot of differences.
Oh, man, so many differences. This is. So, of course, any kid who grew up in the 90s running to Netflix when they saw that something of Sabrina, a teenage witch, appear, and we were like, fuck yes, let's do that, because everybody I know that grew up in the 90s were the first person to go, oh my God, this is on! This is amazing! Holy hell! Holy hell, and I say that on purpose.
So, I knew that was happening because the specific called The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, and that was one of the comic series I've been wanting to read. Because they went heavy into the fucking
I hear
demon
the comics. I'm
crazy.
I'm actually interested in reading the comic because they say that it's even further than the show.
Oh yeah.
Now, for those of you who haven't watched it, like I said, it's a totally different show. So I don't want to hear your shaz, your sazz, your jazz.
You're not getting Melissa Joan
your
Hart.
Shaz jazz.
It's not going to be heart. Well, there are heartwarming moments. That's the other thing too. Is that a lot of the look, definitely the veneer of the show is very different. It's very dark. It's very much going into a version of witchcraft that you had seen like in The Craft and other things. But it has their characters have heart.
Not only that, some of the characters some of the characters are more of what's the word I'm looking for? Is a extreme version of what we knew from the 90s, like, for instance, Helda and Zelda, right? Those two are extreme versions in this show of what, like, and I mean of polar opposites, because you have Zelda, who is the militant, I worship Satan, we should
into
all be...
into BDSM.
Right? I'm into BDSM, all this good stuff. And then you have Hilda, who is like, I just happen to be a Satanist, but... in a witch.
I'm just a witch.
But, you know, but I like
this possible werewolf man.
Yeah. You know, but it's a good, honestly, it's a good blending, I think, when it comes to the characters, the way the characters are. But again, the veneer is, like you said, it's very dark. Even when they filmed the daylight, it's dark. Even the daylight
the show is
dim.
It's very dim.
It's visually dim and everything else. So yeah, it is darker. My original issue was once I started watching it, of course, the internet always has to troll everything. Go figure. We troll things all the time, so really I can't say shit. But the biggest issue was like, oh, I don't know. I don't really like that it went so dark and I, you know, this and that. I'm like, listen, there's a fucking, like a goddamn symbol in the middle of the logo. What did you think was possibly going to happen? Like, I don't know if you don't know what that symbol means, but if you should, if you're going to say that your reasons for not liking it is your religious and your religion and your faith, you watched the whole wrong show to begin with. You shouldn't be watching a show called The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina the Witch. Like, you just, that should not have been the thing.
And I also think it's very interesting because this is sort of a general critique of how knee-jerk religious reactions kind of work. But if you actually paid attention to the show and the level of hypocrisy involved in the Satanic Church there, like... that is a critique of religion in general. And it's just you're changing it instead of just being in a Catholic version
or a Christian version, it's just Satanist.
And I think that's a very interesting take on it.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's brilliant also, and I think we may have touched on this a little bit earlier because I thought the same thing. Sabrina eventually, as she's having to bounce between both worlds because she's half witch, you know, and in this particular situation, we find out that she was spoilers.
Yeah, yeah.
Spoilers.
We'll put the spoiler thing right in the beginning
of the segment. You find out that she's baptized and she's also sworn
and
her.
And dark baptized.
Right, and dark baptized. So I think it's interesting because her being half and half, she gets to call out the hypocrisies on both ends.
Yes.
And that is what makes it, and she gets even more into it towards the end as she starts to try to change their rules and starts to change like what they're
changing it from the inside.
Right, in the belly of the beast.
So I think it's also, I think we all have to talk about how fucking great the girl who played Sabrina is.
Yeah.
Because that show has to hinge on you liking her, and she is so charming. She is just like the perfect amount of adorable, but definitely like, oh, she's gonna cause some fucking problems.
Well, right. And the thing is that the only thing, there were times that I really was annoyed by her. Really annoyed
really?
By her. And honestly, it's because I forget sometimes that this is a 16-year-old girl it's that yet. She's playing. So she does stupid things like, I want to bend the rule. I want to bend the rules that have never been broken for love. You know, and I'm like, I forget that this
is PG-14.
Yeah. Well, that's not just PG-14. It is a 16-year-old who's like
yeah,
who is in love for the first time.
No, yeah, I agree with you. You want? I guess it didn't bother me in this show because I've seen Riverdale.
Okay.
Well, it also didn't bother me because they establish and they do a really good job of establishing that she's a fucking kid.
Yeah. No, I know, but what I mean is like the level of horrible cheese bullshit of decisions.
No,
and
this made me want to watch Riverdale. Like, I want more of the camp.
Okay, but my problem with Riverdale is season one of Riverdale is delicious camp. It's reminding me of the bullshit shows I watched when I was that age, right? But then season two happens, and it's like Glee had a baby with weird sci-fi bad singers.
There's sci-fi in there?
Yeah.
Sort of?
I guess, why am I calling it sci-fi? I forgot what episode it is. Something weird happens and they don't know
weird
where it's
shit
coming
happens.
From. Right.
Fantasy.
And it's another Archie comic. So, but Riverdale season two is not worth it.
Yeah.
I would tell you, if you want to just get a taste of that cheese and like, okay, because that's exactly what that is. But season two, they sang way too often and none of these actors could sing. So.
I can't forget, like, anytime anybody opens their mouth to sing, you're like, nope. And
nope.
Just
I was like, no. I was like, oh my God. Why? And I just kept looking at Vanessa and going, why are they singing again? This is not a show about singing. And technically, there's only one band and now everybody sings. It's supposed to be
Josie
and the Pussycats. Archie sings. Veronica sings. I think the only one who hasn't sung is Jughead, thank God.
I think he's banging some teacher or something like that. I remember reading that he was banging a teacher.
Yeah, but now he's with Betty.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I heard about
that. He's with Betty. So.
Back to Sabrina. The other thing is Michelle Gomez. People familiar from her from Doctor Who, who she played Missy.
Oh my God.
She is so much fun to watch as a villain because you know how you can just tell an actor loves what the fuck they're doing? Like, you could tell she's just having, anytime she's on screen, the best time.
And she's brilliant because you like her.
Yes.
And she's the villain and you know that she's the villain and you like her. Like, I loved every time that she was on the screen. I already knew who she was even before because I was talking to Christy from Mamas and Merlot podcast. And she was, I noticed the actress. I was like, "Hey, that's," and you know, and I'm not a big Doctor Who fan, so I was like, "Isn't she the villain Time Lord person?"
Yes.
Yes, right. And Christy was like, "Yeah, actually." I was like, "Oh, I nailed that one. Awesome. Never seen it, but I knew that."
And she has that kind of energy in Doctor Who,
Doctor Who,
which is why every scene that she's in Doctor Who is a fucking blast.
Yeah, she was brilliant. Who I didn't like, and who I still don't like in Sabrina, is her nemesis in school.
Fuck was her name?
Dark skin with white hair.
Yeah. Oh my God. What is her name? Something with an N.
It's not. It's.
Oh God. But yeah, you didn't.
I don't have my phone on me.
You just didn't like
to
her.
Look it up. Somebody look it up so that we can have a proper fact checks.
Yeah. But you didn't like her.
Her, like Kenny says, how they played extremes of like things that we've like known, like when it came to like the sisters and things like that, the aunts. She played such an extreme of that character that I couldn't swallow it. Like, I like Nemesis in school, who know when to rein. Like Regina George was a really good Nemesis in high school. She was the bully, but there were parts of her that you were like, I would have loved to have been friends with just that corner of you. Like, and this girl didn't do that for me ever in the whole entire thing. I think the only time she was halfway decent was in the episode of The Feast.
Well, I think what ends up happening, and I think this is where that redemption arc is, that she is, and I think you can see how, she's just a racist, right? Like,
yeah.
But you see that, like, she's not necessarily against, like, being friends with Sabrina at certain points, and you can see how that relationship could work, and after the feast,
yes.
and after everything that goes through, Sabrina keeps her end of her promises.
Right, but then the last two episodes, she's a bitch again.
Oh, by the way,
but that's also because...
By the way, her name is Prudence.
That's what it was.
Prudence.
But I honestly think that her character, Prudence, the character Prudence, I honestly think that she wants Sabrina to be her friend. I think it's a very mean girls thing where she's like, I got to treat you like shit, and then so that you can become part of my group, which that's what it kind of looks like at the end of the season, where all of a sudden now they're mean girling the whole entire fucking, the whole entire fucking Satan school.
I love how... So the other thing that I fucking loved was that the trailers make it seem like the whole season is going to be her battle about whether or not she goes through the dark path.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the second or third episode.
Third episode.
So that's, like, solved for most of the show.
Yeah,
until,
then it became
the
about
end.
Something. And then what I... Okay, so what I did enjoy about the show, pros and cons here. Pros, it got darker every episode.
Yeah.
Every episode, I was like, Vanessa and I were like, are they going to do that? Like, when I can see where it was going, I was like, they're not going to do it on this show. Oh, no.
She cut a bitch's throat.
Yeah.
Yo, that was one of the ones that I was
for
like.
For love. I was like, Jesus. Yeah, girl. That's right.
Yeah, that was one of the parts that I was like, oh, okay. They went there.
I literally was just like, oh, she's going to puss. Oh, no, she didn't.
Yeah, I was like, all right, freaking cool. So, yeah, it got progressively darker. The nostalgia in me, that feeling, really wishes that they would have made Salem talk. Like,
I'm wondering if he's going to talk next season. Because they already had a couple of the familiars talk.
The Raven.
The Raven talked at the very end. So I wonder if now that she's a full witch.
If he's going to be like, yo, what's up?
Yeah.
But I kind of like Ambrose being...
Oh, I like Ambrose
the Salem right now.
I love Ambrose. Like, Ambrose is...
Oh, no. Ambrose is cool.
Great.
And I liked it because we didn't have that in... In our version of Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
That was from the comics.
That was strictly from the comics. And so when I first was watching, I was like, my brain is going as I'm watching the show, like remembering the characters that were there. And I was like, that was not there. I do miss Hilda from the original that we saw. I liked her. I liked that character and that level of kookiness that was in the cheese at that time. Though I love this Hilda too.
Yeah.
This Zelda, you're supposed to hate, and I do. I hate her. I don't like her.
Oh, God. Oliver. Yeah, she
is the best character on this show.
But she,
I honestly
but
believe.
She's fascinating. She is fascinating because
she's the most fascinating person to watch.
When you see the cracks in it, you see her struggle with it.
Yeah.
And I think it's actually, like, very touching when they crack enough where you see the real fucking person instead of like her feeling the stress of having to be the mother.
Right.
The other thing I really, really love about the show is how it has to be set in modern times, but based off of how everybody dresses, it's indeterminate when the show is. It could be anywhere from like the 60s to now.
And they play with that down to the phones.
Yes.
Yeah.
In the house, they use the house line for certain things. The kids aren't always on their phone, but they do have them because they use them for emergencies, like, or like late night talking and stuff like that. But it's not this like zombies thing that are doing now.
It's really cool because the fashion was like what really got me, where it was like, huh.
It's also the small town, which lends itself to be able to play both the modern and pre-modern world. Because you think about it, they're in a mining town. So you have that old school feel of a very small town that does a lot of hard hand work. They run a small hometown funeral home where everybody in the town, anytime there's a death, they're going to go to that house. So they played it very smart. And I can only assume that that means that it's written very smart in the comic book to be able to bounce off of both of those and feel like you're reading something modern and getting that old timey feel of witches and Salem and darkness.
That art in the beginning is from the comic book.
Oh, no, the art looks amazing.
Oh, also, did you kind of think at the end there was going to be some fucking zombies?
Yeah.
When this guy came back and there was like that bite mark, I was like, oh, shit. Yeah, it's just like, no, he's just a cannibal. Like, yeah.
Okay, cool.
For like 1 second, I'm like, are they going to do it?
Now, we are going to get a Christmas special.
I'm so excited about that. I'm like, yes.
Which is...
You mean a winter solstice special?
Okay. I'm going to try to... Solstice. No, yeah, seriously. I am all for any religion you do. I grew up in Catholic schools. I graduated. I have all of my beautiful lesbian self has my baptism, my confirmation, my communion, the whole nine. But I can't wait to finally get a pagan Christmas movie. Not Christmas, pagan. Like, I can't
straight up fucking pagan.
Like, straight up fucking pagan. Because, of course, people always try to say, you know, you have the people who have no concept that paganism is part of the rituals of what we do in Christmas.
The history of, like, I might want to look back at where all these things come from.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I love that. And now I get to see it, like, for real, from a Satanist thing. Now, cons real quick. To my fellow people who are listening, who are or know someone who is Wiccan, I can understand why you're upset.
Yes.
Actually, yeah. It is actually the only facet of faith that I can say I understand that you're mad at this, because it does paint the Wiccan religion, which I know of and I know about, in a not so great light in the way that they attribute how you believe and see things.
Now, this is where I've been kind of 50-50 on that. It's like, that's just for at first blush, right? I don't feel like they're Wiccan. I don't. It's not. It's sort of this like weird indeterminate kind of. It's just like a church.
Okay, here's the thing.
I know.
No. Like, you're right, and at the same time, there's like a facet. So technically speaking, the church aren't Wiccans. They're not the ones that are calling themselves Wiccans, right? But they're talking. They are the satanic church, like the satanic church. That's what they are. Where you have the Wiccans speak was at the girls of school that created the club called Wicca.
Okay.
The club Wicca.
Right?
Yeah. Which is then, all women part of it. And it's, yeah.
And so the problem with that is that having Sabrina, who is a Satanist, be a part of the club Wicca and be the one behind it.
Yeah.
And that I can understand. That. Because it's basically trying to say that all Wiccans believe and get their powers per se from selling their soul to the devil, and that's not true. So I can understand having painted your beliefs and your faith and your own religion in a negative light, and in a wrong light. Like, not, that's not, Satanists do worship Satan, like, right? So
yes they do. It's a little more,
it's always more, there's more in depth to it, but what of I'm course. Saying is basically the gist of what the show is telling you is that Satanists worship Satan.
But the thing,
that's true. To say that all Wiccans, like,
were the thing is, like, Satanists actually worship their, well, Satan, like, the church of, like, Lucifer, like, the satanic church, they worship themselves.
Right.
That's kind of a thing, so it's less idolatry and more just kind of this belief in self. But, I mean, again, these are things that just could be conflated by people.
Right. So, I can understand that. I get it. But push back past it, remember that this is a teenage show. Like, these are like 16-year-olds, and in all honesty, I didn't know much at 16, and after watching The Craft, I tried just about everything. I tried light as a feather, stiff as a board. I tried to make pencils move and do the shape of a star. I dressed up all goth-like. Every girl in
you
the
as
90s.
A goth is like that's a weird image.
But I did. I did. Totally went through an all-black goth phase.
Gotta see a picture of that.
I will find one.
I was just like, oh, what the fuck?
Yeah, I will find one.
Hylia goth.
Hylia goth. Yeah. Not so much chonga. No, it was like big. We had Jenko jeans, so it was like big black Jenko jeans. I just wear all black. I wear all black now. I guess.
Yeah, nothing's changed.
Nothing has changed.
Just not the Jenko jeans.
Not the Jenko jeans. I miss Jenko jeans.
They sell them.
Where? I see online. Them nowhere.
Online.
You buy from the website. I hate buying clothes online.
Can you imagine Q with her long hair put up in a ponytail, all black?
Yes, I can.
Yes, you can.
Yes, I can.
Yes, you can.
It's It's a great image.
It's there now. It's there now. It's going nowhere. Now we have to touch on, because exactly what I said was gonna happen when we talked about Sabrina the Teenage, which happened. So we knew it was gonna happen. The Satanic Church sued Netflix for copyright infringement because of the statue that they use in the entirety of this fucking show.
Yeah.
Because in theory, it really was belonged and made specifically for the Satanic Church, and Netflix went and bought it and used it, and without
getting the pass for it.
And then today I saw the news article that they settled, which I knew they were going to settle.
The way the copyright law has to work is like they have to sue. They have to defend their copyright.
Their copyright. So it was going to happen, and I knew that Netflix was going to fucking pay them out. Netflix right now is like swirling in money, so I'm really...
Well, they're in debt.
Are they really?
Yeah. The last time I read, like, they're not doing... This is the weird thing when it comes to finances. It's just like, it looks like they're doing really well, and then they're like, oh, we're like $4 billion in debt. Like, what?
Yeah, no, the reason why is because, you make all these shows and they do all this revenue. The problem is that there's all this back pay. There is all these different things that have come all at once.
Yeah.
There's a lot of licensing that they have to redistribute. It's a lot of different... Like, honestly... They're making money now in order to try to fill in this huge hole that they have. That's pretty much like right now. Marvel would be the same way if they wouldn't have sold some of the rights to some of the stuff.
Oh, they would have been out of business.
They would have been out of business
long time ago.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure. By the way, I guess we'll rate Sabrina. Then I have some other questions. On a scale of 1 to 10, what would you give Sabrina? The chilling
adventures of Sabrina.
I would give it, it's tough because I always try to gauge these whenever I review something just based off of like gut reaction. And
yeah,
I really enjoyed the whole show. There wasn't really a lot that irritated me. I also felt that it was only 10 episodes, not 13. They really didn't feel like there was wasted time in this. Like they got to each story beat properly. They set up a world that I'm interested in. They had a ton of fucking actors that I actually liked, and they were a lot of fun to watch. So, yeah, I give this like a 9. Like, okay. Definitely, please see it. Like, it's fun.
Got it, Kenny.
I'll give it a solid 8. I'll give it an 8. It was enjoyable to watch. It had just enough gore for a PG-14.
Yeah.
It had just enough.
It was fucking... They had some good fucking horror
in it.
It had good horror in it.
I mean, honestly, it's the camp...
Sorry, the teacher getting shot in the first episode was gory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay, that's what's happening.
All right, we're starting.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, so go ahead, Kenny.
Yeah, so the campy was just fine. Really, it's just that at times I just got annoyed by the main character. Really, and I totally forgot, and I would forget sometimes that she was a 16-year-old girl. So there were things that I wish that
she... You're like teenagers.
I just don't like the teenage angst and things that he's my whole world, so I must destroy my world to have him in my world, and I just... Yeah,
I actually put that guy like up there with like Steve from Stranger Things. Of just like, he's a good dude.
You know what? He was a good dude. I feel bad where his storyline is going.
And he could have told Sabrina to fuck right off after that. And he was just like, "Look, I know, I get it. I just need some fucking space.
Yeah,
I've been through some shit."
Yeah, and he found out some crazy shit. Yeah. So you know, so
no, all of a sudden it's like, "Oh, you did this and this." Okay, well, I'm so overwhelmed and numb from all the stuff you just told me. I'm just gonna have to believe it.
At this point, I have to. Like, yeah. There were weird, fucked up like witches walking outside. That was a weird horse. Like,
and my brother that you brought back to life that was totally fucking weird.
I had to shoot my brother in the face.
That's one of those where it was oddly quick how much he was like, "All right, I'll kill him." I was like, "Oh, okay."
Another moment where like I respected Zelda is when his father went to punch him in the face.
Oh,
Zelda
yeah.
stopped him, and I was like, "Thank you." Again,
she has those moments.
Well, I was gonna say the humanity, but I mean, like they like to separate themselves from him, but it's her humanity of just no, you're not gonna do this in my fucking house.
And it's crazy because. If nothing else, Zelda is the one that wants the nuclear family. She is the one that wants...
Kind of.
She is the one that's like, I need a family. Like, I need a perfect family where we all, you know, have the same... Like, we're all part of the same religion. We all have the same dichotomy. Let's have a perfect... Let's have the black pinket fence around our our very strange and gloomy house.
Yeah.
Right. And but no, but it's an 8. I give it an 8. Honestly, it's I'll watch it again. There were only things that it really at this point I was just nitpicking on the show.
I'm gonna give it an 8.5. Actually, I've watched too many shows back to back on Netflix to give this a high rating, like a 9 or 10, because there are other shows in my brain hole that take that.
Yeah.
Part right here. I did have to watch the first episode. I tried to watch the show, I think, like 2 or 3 times. Like, I had to be in the right mood and in the right mindset to, like, stick through the cheese. And I think that I was also coming from of being disappointed in Riverdale, too. And so the cheese is a bit much for me. I don't do well with that cheese sometimes.
Yeah, I love it.
I know you do.
On,
yeah,
that's grind it and put it on my rice. I want it.
You do. I don't necessarily like that. So even when I was younger, I watched things like Dawson's Creek, which
is super fucking cheesy.
It is cheesy, but on an intellectual level.
I think you go back and watch that now, you're going to be like, all right. Like, maybe not.
One Tree Hill was my guilty pleasure for being more cheesy.
Ooh,
than
that's pretty fucking cheesy.
I loved One Tree Hill.
You a Gilmore Girls person?
Yeah.
I've heard that's a really good show.
It is a really good
show.
It's
written by the woman who did Miss Maisel, so
yeah.
It's
no, it's a really good show.
I might actually give it a shot. It always came off as like a One Tree Hill kind of deal.
That one was it's mother-daughter, so that relationship, but they do
Got
so
it.
Well together. So well. Lorelai and Lori.
Lorelai.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. So
Lorelai.
So yeah, I give it an 8.5. I actually dug Sabrina, the actress of Sabrina. The villain, her school nemesis is the one that was like, I don't care about you.
I also love that they chose the actress who you could believe is this guy. And I, by the way, that dude was great.
Oh, yeah, he was.
I love, again, really arch, really over the fucking top.
Yeah, they were all over the top. But yeah, so I gave it an 8.5. I'm going to watch the Christmas special and all of that. I suggest that everybody give it a try if you're into something like that. And definitely if you grew up in the 90s and watched Sabrina the Teenage Witch, just watch this. Just for
the shock.
Just for the shock of it all.
It was good. And awesome. Real quick. Balky from Perfect Strangers was back and actually got work and is the principal.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Oh yeah, dude. Oh, that dude was great. That dude finally getting what he wanted.
Exactly.
I don't think he wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would say watch that shit. Watch it. Now, I had a question before we end this episode. Are we getting a Deadpool game?
There was already a Deadpool game.
There's already one that already happened.
After the movie?
No, this was before the movie.
No, I'm talking about after the success of these movies.
No, they haven't said anything yet.
Not in it hasn't come up in my feelers.
I would like to play something like that.
I mean, go if you want. They have
Is the other one good though?
It's okay.
No,
it's an action game.
I want
it's like a, it's a, imagine like a God of War like kind of game.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, and plus he does a lot of Deadpool.
And
he'll stop and actually in the middle of playing and he'll talk to you and be like, what the shit are you doing?
And Nolan North is the guy who plays Deadpool, which is this guy from Uncharted.
Oh, okay.
So if you like that voice actor, he does Deadpool pretty good.
Got it. Did not know about that. Well, yeah. Thank you guys for listening. Don't forget, please email us. Let us know what you'd like to see from us in the upcoming 2019 season of The Talking Geek. If you haven't already checked out other episodes or other branches, make sure you tune in to our Brunches and Dragons. It is a fantastic, fantastic story in D&D. At least I think so.
I'm really impressed with how Will is probably the best GM I've had. And just he's really good at being able to spin these stories and like keep all of our attentions.
Yeah, to be able to be playing with everybody's backstories and that I actually don't fade away while other people are having their moments and I'm really interested in what's happening to them too, speaks a lot. So you guys can check that out. I would say start from our catch-up episode where the audio changes.
Where we figured out the audio.
Yeah, we figured out the audio because it was a trial and error. We just tell you the really important stuff, and every episode after that is really good on character building. So if you don't know who we are, that's a good place to start because you'll find out who we are soon. And make sure you check out our other D&D podcast, Criticalism, and that's on iTunes and the whole nine. And you can follow me now on Instagram at Qception. So that's me. You can follow me. Follow The Talking Geek. Bear, where can they follow you?
Follow me on Instagram at Gurren Lagann, like the robot anime. I basically just post pictures of just like albums that I buy. Like, yeah. I get some vinyls and play it. It's nice.
Sometimes
to,
beer.
You just oh yeah, no, there's a lot of beer. When we're playing Bunch of the Dragons, I always at least pop off the first beer and stick it on there. You can follow me at let's see, what am I even on anymore? On Twitter, you can follow me at Pedro Cortez Get. That's Cortez with an S.
And you can find me on Instagram, on Twitter, under Mr. Underscore. That is Mr. Underscore. That's with underscore in between each word. Honestly, if you have iTunes, please send out, please put a review for all of our stuff because we would love you. I'll give you a hug.
And it helps. And we're doing a giveaway, actually, for anybody who leaves us a review. If you're listening to this now, we'll be choosing a winner. And you guys are going to get a Harry Potter exclusive item.
Ooh.
Like, super exclusive, because it's my stuff and nobody else has it, and it's an exclusive. Like, it's an actual exclusive. It's like a licensed exclusive item.
Exclusive!
Some vinyls, some comics, some stickers,
I'll
some
throw, you know what? I'll throw in some magic shit I got.
Oh!
I'll put magic
fucking
cards in.
Magical
we'll
in there.
There might even be D&D dice in there.
Oh,
so,
shit!
All you have to do is post a review on any of the formats you listen to us, and just to make sure that we are sure to see it, just take a picture and tag us in it at The Talking Geek. Thank you guys for listening. Until next time, stay geeky.